your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thanks for joining me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. I welcome you to hear these highlights from one of the most Milwaukee celebrations ever, last Thursday of this week. Henry Winkler, the Fonz. From Happy Days. Henry Winkler's birthday today, October 30th, turned 80 years old. And, you know, we have the bronze Fonz statue on the Riverwalk. It's been there nearly 20 years now, and it is a magnet for selfies. Visit Milwaukee leaned all the way in. I love a good theme party. They threw a party at 2 o'clock today and invited everybody. And unfortunately, my afternoon got shifted around. I had this circled on my calendar. I was so ready to go. I wanted to get one of the free cupcakes. I wanted to sing. I wasn't able to make it, but I watched on the Visit Milwaukee webcam at visitmilwaukee.org, which, by the way, you can always see the bronze Fonz on the webcam if you're ever curious to see this sculpture, if you're from out of town or you just want to see what's what. But WTMJ's Elizabeth Lintonen was there, as was our digital content manager, Elizabeth Montemurro. So we had Elizabeth and Elizabeth on the scene covering it, and it looked like so much fun. So, Elizabeth, I wanted you to come in and help paint the picture of what the party was like, but also for anybody who doesn't know really the kind of the history of this fun sculpture dedicated to Henry Winkler. One of the speakers there was David Fantel, who I'm sure you got to see and enjoy.
I did get to see and enjoy.
Yes. Hollywood historian and journalist, and as a professor at Marquette, and he's been a guest on What's on Tap. He's thoroughly knowledgeable about films, but I love that he set up this speech, and I'm going to play some highlights from it, but David Fantel has truly known Henry Winkler since he was a college journalist decades ago. And interviewed him, and they've stayed
on Paramount on the Paramount set when he was a college journalist. He told us about how he interviewed him like way back in the day, and they've stayed friends since.
It was the last season of Happy Days, and that the bronze Fonz was the idea of David Fantel. So this is just a few moments from David Fantel's presentation at the Henry Winkler 80th birthday celebration today.
Chicago at Bob Newhart. Minneapolis had Mary Tyler Moore, both from fictional television shows set in those cities, but actually filmed in Hollywood. So, who was the most iconic pop cultural character from TV land that had a connection to Milwaukee? Well, that was easy. Henry Winkler and his leather jacket clad character, the Fonz. I really thought the entire community would embrace the idea of a statue celebrating one of TV's most iconic characters and one of Hollywood's nicest guys. And it may be hard to believe now, but I was the recipient of a good deal of vitriol. How dare we celebrate this leather-wearing thug, wrote one person. Milwaukee is trying to get away from its beer and broad image now, said others. And some comments that were so vulgar, I would not repeat them here today. That was all okay. I and others knew better, and I was happy to take the slings and arrows. The bronze Fonz, since its dedication in 2008, continues to grow in popularity. And I must say, even Alderman Bauman has probably grown to like it. It took a while.
It's now become such a beloved part of our city. And if anybody got a selfie with the bronze Fonz today, you get it with balloon arch. Fonzie has party glasses and a hat on, but you can't have a party without cake. And Elizabeth, I know they were giving away cupcakes, and they were also giving away little air fresheners that you brought back for me. It's pink and blue and has the thumbs up. It says, Happy Birthday, Fonzie. I have yet to open it, so I don't know if it smells like his leather jacket.
We don't know what it smells like, but I thought I'd let you do the honors.
But party favors and cupcakes, but there was an incredible lifelike cake of the bronze Fonz.
It was made by Kimberly Adams. She's from Signature Sweets Bakery, which is a commercial kitchen in Milwaukee. And she made a hyper-realistic cake of the Fonz. She actually took a mold of the statue's face to make the cake. And then it was funny because while she was doing that, people were calling and being like, someone's vandalizing the statue, but it was her taking the mold. So she told me this story about how she, like, people were trying to get her in trouble, but she was taking the mold for
That's
the cake.
That's funny. We'll show it for you right now on the WTMJ YouTube live stream so you can see this cake and you can see Chef Kimberly Adams right next to it. It is life size.
It's
incredible.
Incredible. She said it took her about a week to plan and 3 days to put together.
Artistic side of celebrating Henry Winkler's 80th birthday. So not only was there cake, but there was singing. So we're going to get into some of the celebrations and some of the fan reactions that were on site at the Visit Milwaukee Happy Birthday Henry Winkler celebration at the Bronze Fonz. Stay with us.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Fonzie. Happy birthday to you.
Those are members of Skylight Music Theater singing happy birthday at Henry Winkler's 80th birthday celebration on location on the Riverwalk at the Bronze Fonz statue. You are listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. I am Sandy Max, and with me in the WTMJ studio is reporter Elizabeth Lintonen, who was there on site. It seemed like a fun celebration.
It was.
I was watching on visitmilwaukee.org because there is a permanent Bronze Fonz webcam.
It's true.
So for anyone who can't be on the Riverwalk and you just kind of miss the Bronze Fonz, him and his two thumbs up, you can peek.
You can see him anytime you would like.
What is one word you would use to describe the vibe there?
Joyful. I mean, it was really, really a positive experience. I think when people rally around something that A, is very, very signature to Milwaukee, and B, something like light and fun and pop culture, I think people are really like, it's really refreshing. And I think people are craving an event to go to just celebrate something that's just truly like fun and interesting. And so I got a lot of joy from people there. A lot of glasses, a lot of smiles, a lot of whooping and cheering. And we love you, Henry's.
Henry Winkler even sent in a video.
Oh, he sure did. Yeah.
It's his birthday. Like, I could see maybe why he wouldn't travel. He might be hanging out with friends.
Well,
but
I probably wouldn't spend my 80th birthday on a plane, you know?
But it's a video of him. It looks like in his backyard. And you can watch it on the Visit Milwaukee website as well. But it was very sweet. And then there was also, we just heard singing, and Skylight Music Theater, they just wrapped Fiddler on the Roof, and Andrew Varela played Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, and he was one of the voices you heard singing there, and you chatted with Andrew at the birthday celebration.
I did.
And what did he tell you?
He was in the original Happy Days musical when it opened in New Jersey.
Was one. This is part of that conversation. I didn't even know there was one.
There sure was.
Happy Days.
Whoop. Wait a minute. Here we go. Here we go. They also sang Happy Days in addition to Happy Birthday.
I played Count Malachi of the Malachi Crunch fame. I got to do that one. It was a big, boisterous kind of Shakespearean role with a little bit of wrestling. And it was a great time. It was great working with Gary and with Paul and everybody and Gordon Greenberg, the director. It was very interesting to be around those guys. Very cool.
I had no idea there was a musical.
I know.
And that hyper-local connection is so charming. That is hilarious.
It is.
And what else did you enjoy about today's 80th birthday?
I personally enjoyed watching people take their pictures with the Fonz. You know, they had these big pink balloons up next to him. He was all decked out in his 80th birthday glasses. And so I thought that was really, he looked great.
She is WTMJ reporter Elizabeth Lintonen with highlights from Henry Winkler's 80th birthday celebration this past Thursday, food fun with award-winning actor Tony Shalhoub and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dining critic Rachel Bernard ahead on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
This is a show about bread.
Ah, oh, that is so good.
And people.
Get it, isn't it?
I'm Tony Shalhoub, and I have been an actor for nearly five decades. I grew up in a big family where bread was always at the center of the table. Ever since, from family meals to movie sets,
it's the best thing in the world.
I've seen how countless forms of flour and water have the power to bring people together.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. This is amazing.
So now I'm traveling the world, connecting with friends, family, and total strangers as we bake, break, and chew our way to the heart of the most delicious breads on earth.
That is the voice of Tony, Golden Globe and four-time Emmy Award-winning actor and Wisconsin native Tony Shalhoub. And he is coming to the network CNN with his original series, Tony Shalhoub Breaking Bread. And he's been traveling all around the world. Turns out he is a passionate food lover, like many people. He came from a big family of people who cooked at home, and now he's really involved in the New York restaurant scene. But Sunday on CNN, there is a Wisconsin episode, and I got a chance to take a peek at it. And you can see it in its entirety on Sunday, November 2nd. But I've got to tell you, it was a delight to get to preview it because I wanted to see, well, where does he go? What places do we get to see? And Egg Harbor, the marina there, they go to Wilson's restaurant in Ephraim. They go to Lambeau Field. They stop in Ellison Bay. So a lot of Door County locations. You kind of feel like you're hanging out with Tony Shalhoub and his family. And I'm particularly touched because he winds up spending a lot of time with his daughter and his grandson. So it's fun to see the multi-generations and the family ties there. And this is Tony Shalhoub talking about his Wisconsin upbringing.
Wisconsin is where my father settled, grew up, married my mother, and raised me and my 9 siblings after his journey here from Lebanon. I come back often to visit. I'm obsessed with the Green Bay Packers, so I come for games, to see family, and I come because I just plain love it here. But there's so much more to this diverse state. So this trip is all about getting a taste of the Wisconsin I don't already know.
And when he says he's a Packers fan, like he's even like wearing this like green and gold Packers serape. So he is all in. But it's fun in this show, Breaking Bread. You get to meet his sisters. You get to see them as they bake together. They bake dirty bread together. And it's very, very sweet side. But speaking of the Packers, Tony Shalhoub, a true blue fan who was a little starstruck, he got to meet Leroy Butler. This is some of that meetup.
Tony, it is a great pleasure and a deep honor to meet you, sir.
Leroy Butler is one of my personal heroes. He played his entire NFL career for my beloved Green Bay Packers.
I thought you were coming to my home, but no, I'm coming to your home. You're from here. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My father always had season tickets. You know, so, yeah, this has been the shrine for us. When you're from Green Bay, it's kind of mandatory. This cannot be overstated. Packer fans like me are diehards. And we're also part owners, as the Packers are the only publicly owned franchise in the entire NFL. The players are our idols, and the whole state is in on helping them win.
Tony, now, in sports, I don't know about acting. We have a lot of, like...
superstitions?
Yeah, and we're a little weird. I love grilled cheese. You go to pregame meal, and there was 2 grilled cheese sandwiches waiting for me. And they would have the little lid on it to keep, because it got to be crispy, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Well, what kind of cheese did you fancy the
most?
That's
a great question. In Wisconsin, we have 349 different cheeses.
That's right.
But the one I love the most, more than anything, and I get all goosebumps, is Kobe Jack.
I thought he was going to say cheddar, didn't you? Leroy Butler, it's a really emotional food for him. Leroy Butler and Tony Shalhoub, they make grilled cheese sandwiches together in a kitchen inside Lambeau. It really is charming. And I'm telling you, Tony Shalhoub isn't kidding. He's a big fan. He wanted to know the origin of Leroy Butler's legendary move, the Lambeau Leap.
The first time you did the Lambeau Leap, what was going through your mind? The Lambeau Leap is a household phrase here in Wisconsin. It's the official name for the touchdown celebration made famous by Leroy in 1993.
The thing about it, though, it was all spontaneous.
Yeah.
Normally when you score, you just go to the bench.
Sure.
But this time when I scored, I threw the ball down and people start coming down to the wall right here. So I said, oh, I'm gonna jump in the stands.
No one had ever done that before.
Because I love our fans.
So I love that people around the country and around the world watching CNN and watching Tony Shalhoub's Breaking Bread show, they're going to get another window to the world of Wisconsin. And Tony Shalhoub visited Upland's Cheese Creamery with his daughter, who considers herself a cheese nerd. Tony gives us the history of cheese in Wisconsin.
An influx of Swiss settlers who arrived in the mid-1800s are responsible for Wisconsin's love of cheese. They originally grew wheat, but when soil conditions deteriorated, they pivoted to what they knew, dairy farming. Wisconsin now makes more cheese than any other state.
And they were standing around in the fields with the cows as they grazed and got to walk through the creamery and see how cheese is made and even ate gourmet s'mores around a bonfire. But Tony Shalhoub's daughter had a big question about how Wisconsin is an influence when you're a cheesemaker. And this is what Andy Hatch of Uplands Creamery said.
What do you love so much about Wisconsin?
We have, you know, deep legacy and tradition in dairy farming and cheesemaking here, but we also have the freedom to experiment and a really progressive attitude. There's no place really in the world I'd rather make milk cows and make cheese than southern Wisconsin.
For me, it's where I think I developed a work ethic. Learned that from my family, my parents. I think there's a common thread here. People aren't afraid of work. They have integrity, and they try to love what they do.
And Tony Shalhoub also went to Oneida Nation, a nonprofit farmstead there, and he wound up making a hearty cornbread with them. And of course, he's back in Wisconsin. He got to stop by, enjoy some beer. So we went to Sway Craft Brewery in Door County and hung out with the owner, Matt Sampson. And this is the kind of stuff they're putting in the beer at Sway.
We've used things like yarrow, goldenrod, chanterelle mushrooms in a beer
It invigorates my soul to see a Wisconsin staple reinvented by the next generation.
And of course, you got to sip and sample some beers. And the Door County Cherry Beer, really tripped Tony's trigger.
Love that.
Yeah, so that cherry beer, we use the whole cherry, so the stems, the pits.
I've had Door County cherries in every possible form, but nothing. This is brand new. This is a revelation.
And
I love that.
There's a bakery there at Sway as well, and the strawberry rhubarb pie got the review of ridiculously good from Tony Shalhoub. And the show takes you back to their big family dinner and the laughter and the love that they share. It's really fun to see Tony Shalhoub and his, I think it's 9 brothers and sisters, all hanging out together and discussing memories of Door County as a kid. And this is kind of the vibe he leaves us with.
Dinner time with my family. An occasion that is near and dear to me, and the highlight of every trip home.
That's for you.
Especially when the table's covered with all our favorite Lebanese dishes.
Tony, did you try the pickled...
I love them.
Oh, that was Dad's favorite.
Pickled turnip.
Pickled turnips.
Tonight, we have Susan's baked kibbe.
What's the kibbe?
The kibbe is ground round, ground chuck and lamb.
Maxine's dirty bread, fataya, a Lebanese bread stuffed with spinach, onions, and spices.
Kibbe, bring the fataya. Bring it all.
You can break bread. Tony Shalhoub, CNN, that Wisconsin episode. Check it out, and you'll get to see Egg Harbor, Door County area there, and Lambeau Field. And I think you'll be proud of how Wisconsin looks on TV again, just like you were when we watched Top Chef Wisconsin. Continuing the local culinary theme, the top 25 restaurants in Milwaukee and new restaurants that are opening. Conversation with the dining critic of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rachel Bernard, next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
I am Sandy Max. Thank you for listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. What are the top 25 restaurants in Milwaukee? Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dining critic Rachel Bernard joined me with her fresh list and updates on the newest restaurants opening in the city. Rachel, we want to know the cream of the crop in cuisine in our city. And I have to imagine, this is a massive project.
I joined as dining critic in June 2023. So last year I did my first ever top restaurants list. And this year I'm an old pro with my second one.
What did you learn from the first time you made your list? Do you have a calendar and do you hit more than one restaurant a night?
It's a lot of schedule juggling, and that's what I learned the most this year. I started a little bit earlier, so I wasn't, you know, eating 6 nights out, you know, for the last 2 months, which I kind of did anyway. But yeah, it's a lot of
tempting.
Juggling.
It's fun.
It is. It's very fun.
And I'm glad that you were able to juggle it and that you have so many restaurants to choose from. How many restaurants did you dine at to get to the top 25?
Probably within a year, I hit upwards of 100. And that's not counting, you know, like the stalls here at Third Street Market Hall or the smaller little restaurants. So, yeah, it's dozens and dozens.
And it, I'm so excited because this is such a big undertaking and it's subjective. So have you already gotten feedback of, hey, you left off my favorite restaurant?
That'll happen every year. But thankfully, you know, I haven't had too much negative feedback. But everybody has their favorites. I do, too. Even some of my favorites didn't make the list this year. Maybe next year. But the ones that did make it were so impressive. And it was a really competitive year.
What is your criteria to make the list? It's impressive to know that this is not just Rachel Bernard's favorite restaurants, that you have a scoring system. What is it that it takes to get on your top 25?
Of course, delicious food. That's always number one.
I wish I had a bell. Ding, ding, ding.
Sure. But also, I look for creativity. You know, we have so many new and exciting restaurants in the city, and I'm looking at if a restaurant has something on their menu that nobody else does, or if other places do, they do it the best. So I'm always looking at what the chef's perspective is. You know, what the restaurant, how well it does what it's trying to set out to do. Service is always a really big one, too. I mean, second to food, you want to be feel taken care of when you're at a restaurant. So there's so many different things I could go down, and I have plenty of notes I could share with you.
Do you actually have a spreadsheet like to do a tiebreaker? And
I sure do.
That's what I want to join you like. When you're in that process, but like you can blur out the names to protect the innocent because it's very sensitive. And all of these chefs take such great pride in the creativity, much less they're all business owners. They want to hear good words, you know, about their individual businesses. So I'm glad to know that we have such a thriving culinary scene here. And I feel like Top Chef Wisconsin really opened eyes to even people who know the food scene here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was such a huge part of last year's dining scene. And I think more people I still get people writing in saying, you know, I used to write reviews of every episode. And I still have people writing in saying, I read these and it made me want to come to Milwaukee to eat.
Yay! That's wonderful. So instead of reading all 25 in alphabetical order, we could definitely go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website and look up Top 25 restaurants, 2025. Just that simple. But I will just go through some of them. The word that jumps out at me, 1033 omakase,
yes,
which I feel like is a new word for some people. But if you love sushi, you know what omakase is.
Yes. And it is Milwaukee's first omakase restaurant. It opened at the end of December last year. And basically what omakase means, for those who don't know, is I leave it up to you in Japanese. So the chef puts out 14 different courses, Chef Ray at 1033 Omakase, and you kind of just take what he gives you. And luckily, everything's fabulous. And this is the newest restaurant on the list. Since it opened in December, I don't include anything that hasn't been open for more than 6 months. And 1033 had to make the list. It's so impressive.
Interesting, because I only just found out about omakase because St. Kate the Arts Hotel has their own chef, Chef 2, there doing it. So it's cool to know that this is becoming an option, not just the only place you can go get it, but it's a sushi scene here in Milwaukee. But you mentioned the newest restaurant then is 1033 Omakase, but there are favorites, because I will say the ones that jumped out to me that I have been to, and they're usually pretty traditional, Amalinda, which has had rave reviews ever since they opened.
Yes.
Chef Gregory Leon there. Some Bartolottas get on the list. Bacchus, which always seems like such a romantic restaurant. Bartolotta's Lake Park Bistro, which is the romantic restaurant for me. Pretty much every anniversary and birthday, I wind up there. So it's good to know that it's not just a sentimental favorite. I really am getting fine, fine food there.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though a restaurant has been around for 30 years, like Lake Park Bistro, they're still knocking out of the park. And I find that extremely impressive. So, you know, that kind of weighs it in their favor, too.
And Bayview wound up becoming this culinary scene, what, almost 10 years ago. I see Good Kind on here, Odd Duck, and not in Bayview, but Loopy and Iris. Mm. I felt that was an ambitious restaurant to be so upscale and sleek, but it lives up to its mission, it seems.
It does. I mean, a lot of people say you don't feel like you're in Milwaukee when you're dining there, and you do. It's just Milwaukee is chic. You know, it can be chic and sophisticated, and that's what Loopy and Iris brings, on top of having really, really fantastic, simple, but really elevated, delicious food.
And one of the newer restaurants that jumped out at me, too, is Room Service. That's in Bayview. Now, I haven't eaten there yet, but I could tell you their cocktails and their cocktail presentation is over the top.
Yes, room service is certainly glitz and glam. It's a show when you go there, as well as having great food, too. So it's one of those places I say, like, take somebody you want to impress for date night. It's a really fun experience.
I would say it's another chic space.
Absolutely.
That was a great word to use. Three Brothers makes the list. And the one thing, I hate to keep talking about Top Chef, but two things about Top Chef. That was the restaurant that the Top Chef judges and crew went to when they came back for the world premiere after they'd done all their filming.
Yeah, it lived in their memory as it does so many of ours. It's been around for 69 years. And when I went there on my recent visit, I had been there many times before, but there's some new kind of magic that kind of seeps from the walls every time you're there and you feel like home. And, you know, even though the menu hasn't really changed that much, you feel special every time you're there. So I can understand why, you know, the Top Chef crew wanted to come back, because I always do too.
And what is their traditional cuisine?
Serbian food.
That's what I thought. And it was just going to say, you don't want the menu to change very much. I mean, if they're going to specialize in that. And then just one more name check for Top Chef, because we have to. Tell us about Esterev.
Yes. So there's a lot going on with Esterev right
now. Yeah, I was just going to say, they made the list, even though they had that terrible, terrible water damage.
Yes.
Chef Dan Jacobs of Dan Dan, this is his other restaurant.
Yes. And, you know, they had terrible flood damage due to an accident in the unit above their restaurant in May. And so they've been closed since then. The reopening is next week.
Yeah.
So they're opening on November 5th. Thankfully, the reason why they made this list is that I was able to get in before they had the flooding. You know, I visited in January and also in April. I felt very lucky to be able to visit them at that time. And their food was fantastic. Their service is always excellent. They do amazing wine pairings. So they had to make the list, even though they were closed for 6 months.
I'm glad they're, because I was going to reach out to Chef Dan Jacobs and see if he wanted to tell us about the restaurant. I was like, that man's busy. He's got a restaurant to open and he already has special events planned. So those are just some of the top 25 best restaurants in Milwaukee, according to the thorough, loving research of Rachel Bernard, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dining critic. Rachel, will you tell us the newest restaurants next?
Absolutely. We'd love to.
There's one Polish one that I've got my eye on. So stay with us here on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
We've just found out the top 25 restaurants in Milwaukee, a fresh list from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dining critic Rachel Bernard. And if you want to see the full list, just go to the Journal Sentinel's website there. And Rachel, I love that you get the job of staying on top of what restaurants are opening. And I've had my eye on one. What can you tell me about Milwaukee's newest Polish restaurant?
Violetta's. It opened October 15th. And it is Milwaukee's first Polish restaurant in a number of years since Polonaise closed a few years ago.
Which crushed my soul.
Mine too. I loved that place. So I'm so happy
that...
Because
it was so old school.
Yes.
There was so much to love about it. It's like, how can Milwaukee not support this wonderful, wonderful Polonaise restaurant? And how do we say this restaurant name?
Violetta's.
Because it starts with a W, of course. So we want to say it very authentic. And is it attached to the Violetta's Polish Market?
Yes. So it's the same owners. The Polish Market that's on the south side on Howell Ave. Same owners opened this restaurant, and former Applebee's. And I'll tell you, I have not been to dine there yet. I usually give restaurants a few weeks to get their footing. But, you know, I've been all over social media looking at it. And you would not believe that it's a former Applebee's. It looks so homey in there and just really lovely. So I can't wait to go. I think it's going to be, I've checked out the menu and it looks very traditional, very Polish. You know, they have their pierogi sampler, which I can't wait to dive into. There's there's pork shank, there's braised cabbage, you know, all the wonderful Polish things.
If they've got Charnina, then you know, then they're going to raise the bar and be really authentic. But the Violetta's shop has so many authentic Polish treats to just go grocery shopping there. You're like, you feel like you're there.
Yes, it's so fun. I love stopping in there whenever I can. And, you know, they do punchkis all year round in many different flavors. So you don't have to just go on punchki day.
So you can get your Polish fix on Howell Avenue there, right there. Like Howell and Howard.
Yes.
Is that intersection there. And what other new restaurants do we have in Milwaukee?
So new restaurants that have opened, Midwest Sad is actually a bakery, but they are going to be expanding their menu. So Midwest Sad is a bakery that has existed for a couple years in a downtown. And so now they have their own space in Walker's Point. And I just wrote a little profile of them. They have the most delicious cookies and cakes and pies, and their banana pudding is fantastic.
And their pistachio pudding, because Sam, yes, who owns Midwest Sad, I had her in on What's on Tap to talk about Super Bowl snacks and that sort of thing. And that was my first introduction. And oh, it's incredible. And it's also exciting to see such a young businesswoman expand and be able to expand, because there's an appetite in the city, pun intended-ish, for what she's creating at Midwest Sad Bakery.
Yes, she works so hard, and she really had a struggle getting this Walker's Point location open. You know, there were some issues in the construction, but she finally got it open, and it's just so amazing to see her work pay off.
Is there a new French restaurant?
Not yet, uh-huh, but there will be hopefully very soon. Cassis, that's a very, very highly anticipated restaurant coming from Birch owner Kyle Nall.
Oh.
So that one will be opening in the 333 Water Building in the Third Ward. And I keep checking in. I checked in with a representative and they said, we're still on track for a fall opening. They're under construction. I'm following them on Instagram and I'm seeing the sinks being put in and the tile going up. Fingers crossed they'll be open by the end of this year. It's going to be incredible. Like a nice French bistro, open for breakfast through dinner.
I trust you'll be the first to know. Rachel Bernard, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel dining critic, and more than critic, just absolutely keeping up on the news and in the know for what's opening and closing in our Milwaukee culinary scene. Thank you so much. And what is the Journal Sentinel website to get to your top 25 restaurants list?
JSonline.com.
Bon appetit.
Thanks for having me.
Next, get ready to crank up the song you need to hear. It is a cool classic rock song that just celebrated its 50th anniversary of being released on Halloween, October 31st. The song you need to hear is sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Visit them at flanners.com. At Flanners, music matters. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
This is one you know. You can sing along to it, the high notes, the low notes. Epic, unique, a classic rock song that was released 50 years ago on Halloween. It's the opening headbanging scene to the movie Wayne's World and the name of the award-winning movie biopic all about Queen. Happy 50th anniversary to the song Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. The song you need to hear, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Visit them at flanners.com. At Flanners, music matters. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play. Sing along.
Is this-